a story told that one afternoon in a small town in Russia, the Heligur Baal Shem Tov looks out of his window and he notices his good friend Reb Chaikel the water carrier. Did I ever speak about this story here? So it's an important story. He sees him slowly pedaling through the streets and he noticed that he has weighty buckets over his shoulders and his back is hunched over. And he sees that almost all the water that he's carrying is spilling out of the buckets that he's holding. So the Baal Shem Tov reaches out to him and he says, "Nu Reb Chaikel, how's business today? How's the parnasa going?" And he turns back to him and he says, "You know, I have so much frustration. I'm so bitter about the job that I do. You know, I'm so worn out. I'm an old man. I hardly have any energy left. I can't even hold these buckets. By the time I get to the first stop, I hardly have anything left. I already have to go back to the next place." And he says, "Everything I do seems to be so insignificant. My life is so worthless. Even when I come home after a whole day's work, I don't even have enough money to provide for my family. I don't even know why I get up in the morning and do all this work." So the Baal Shem Tov felt bad for him, but the man went on his way. And the very next day, the Baal Shem Tov bumps into him once again. And he says, "Nu Reb Chaikel, how's Parnassa today? How are things going?" And he says, "You know, you wouldn't believe it." He says, "Why would I ever complain? I'm an old man, and as you see, my back is hunched over. I can hardly carry the buckets, and half of the water spills out as I'm walking through the streets, and you wouldn't believe it. Although I can hardly do my job, people in this town are so kind to me, and they still hire me for work, even though I can hardly do the job. How can I complain?" He says, "Most people my age are so down, they're so depressed, they can't even get out of bed in the morning, and I wake up every day to go and do my job. I have a great life." And the Baal Shem Tov is perplexed. He's surprised that he hears these two very different responses one day after the other. And after hearing this, the Baal Shem Tov said he now understood a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. What did he mean? He said the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that, as we know, Kol Bei Olam Yavrun Lefanecha Kivnei Maron. As we know, on Rosh Hashanah, it is a day of personal and of communal judgment for all of mankind, the Gemara says, which means, seemingly, Jews and non-Jews alike are all judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's the day when everything for the coming year is going to be determined. At the same time, the Gemara also has a statement which is, seems to be very different. Adam nidon b'chol yom. The Gemara says, according to one opinion, that man is judged and somewhat reevaluated every day of the year. So the Baal Shem Tov said he always wondered, which one is it? Do we assume that everything is predetermined already on Rosh Hashanah, and from then on we have the judgment for everything that will come in the next year? Or do we assume that our judgment is somewhat of a lingering process and it continues to evolve and it continues to develop over the year? And Adam Nida Mechol Yom, every day is a new judgment for us, and it's an opportunity for us to make something out of that judgment that has been put upon us for the day, but we can change it for the next day that goes forward. And the Baal Shem Tov said that he wondered about this for many years, but he now understood what the seeming stira, the conflict that we have between these two Gemaras. The Baal Shem Tov now suggested that it means the following. On Rosh Hashanah, he writes, we are going to have decided for us what general category of life we're going to lead this year. Meaning, are we going to be doctors? Are we going to be lawyers? Are we going to be bankers? Are we going to be teachers? Are we going to be fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, parents, children? All of that is decided on Rosh Hashanah. That aspect of our life is done already once Rosh Hashanah is finished. That is determined for the coming year. However, said the Baal Shem Tov, what he learned from this very simple water carrier was that we are given an incredible gift and a renewed opportunity every day of the year to decide for ourselves how we are going to spend the life and the day that the Ribono Shel Olam gave us. Adam Nida Mechol Yom means a human being has the opportunity to choose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me a doctor, he made me a lawyer. I can choose either to be happy and to be satisfied and to be proud of whatever it is that I do, or I can be a person who is always irritated and bitter and acrimonious about the lot in life that they have been put in. So why do I mention this? Because it's the time of year that we start to think once again about the Megillas Esther. And in the Megillas Esther, we read about the incredible story of the Hatzalah, about Mordechai and Esther and all the great things that they did, and about how they overcame their adversaries, how they overcame Haman and Ahasuerus. And by the way, the Gemara says both Haman and Ahasuerus hated the Jews equally, and their sense of need to destroy the Jewish people was equal in its proportion. It's not that Haman was the bad guy and he just convinced Ahasuerus to come along. Haman and Ahasuerus, says the Gemara, both hated the Jews equally and wanted to destroy both of them. So when we're introduced to Haman, we have many different things that the Megillah tells us, but the Gemara backs it up. The Gemara Maseches Chulin says, Haman min haTorah minayin. We have a concept, leka davar de la remiza ba'araisa. We assume that there's always a hint in the Torah for everything that's going to happen, even in future generations. And the question that the Gemara Maseches Chulin asks is, Haman min haTorah minayin. There was a story way after the Torah was written. in which we have the character called Haman. So where can we find some kind of reference to his name in the Torah? Where do we have something that tells us that there was going to be a story in which we would encounter Haman? Says the Gemara very surprisingly, Shanemar, Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicha levilti achol mimenu achalt. This was said to Adam Arishon in Parshas Bereishis. He's told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then asks him, Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicha levilti achol? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Is that really what happened here? Is that what I'm experiencing? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Adam Arishon, says the Gemara, Hamin ha'etz. That's where we have a reference to the name Haman. Hey Mem Nun. Sounds like a very strange Gemara, and many Mefarshim try to explain, is there really no better connection to the story of Haman and Ahasuerus and Mordechai and Esther than this pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, seemingly having nothing at all to do with the storyline of the Purim story, of everything that happened, of that whole miracle? Can the Torah not have found some other place where we have the letters Hey, Mem, Nun? I assume if you do a search, you'll find other places where the letters Hey, Mem, Nun are the Rosh Tevis, Sofei Tevis, a word itself. Why is it that the Torah has to take us specifically to Parshas Bereishis, to the story of Adam Arishon eating from the Eitz Hadas? And they say in the name of Rav Shalom Shvadron, it's in his drushas where he suggests the following. What was the mistake of Adam Arishon at that time? What did Haman do wrong? HaKadosh Baruch Hu de Meshachachma writes that people sometimes make a mistake when they think about the story of Adam Arishon. You ask a regular average person, what was the first mitzvah given to mankind when the world was created? People say, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. Says the Meshachachma, incorrect. The first mitzvah that was given was Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel. You should eat and enjoy everything in the world. And I want you to take advantage of all that I've created. However, I just ask you to do me one favor. While you're enjoying all that the world has to give you, I want you to hold back from enjoying this one tree. The Eitz Hadas is the only thing to stay away from. But you have a tremendous world. You have a whole atmosphere. You have everything out there that is there for you to take and enjoy and indulge. And all I ask you is just to hold back on one thing. Says Rav Shalom Shvadron, that was the problem with Haman as well. Adam Arishon couldn't hold himself back, and unfortunately he made that fateful mistake of, even though I have the whole world in front of me, it's not good enough because I'm missing that one last thing, that last tree that God told me I'm not allowed to eat from. What was the problem with Haman? Haman is a man who has everything going for him. Haman is a man who is given great prestige. He's given great honor. He is the Mishnah LaMelech HaChashveirosh. He is the person who is second in command. Mordechai later on takes over his job. But Haman was a person who really was a prominent figure in all that went on in Persia. And this was Sheva Ve'esra Mea Medina. So it wasn't just a small province. This was the entire world at the time that Ahasuerus was ruling over. And yet, even though he has everything, and the entire community is bowing down to him, and he has a family, and he has a community, and he has a job promotion, and he has so much covet and so much honor, Haman says, Kol ze einenu shavali. All of that is worth nothing. Because Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachave. Because Mordechai won't bring himself to bow down to me. If I'm missing that one thing that I want in my life, everything else is irrelevant. Everything else is worth nothing, which is an amazing perspective. And that, writes the Baal Shem Tov, is what it means, Adam Nida Mechal Yom. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has determined already on Rosh Hashanah what category of life we're going to be part of. However, we have the ability to choose how to look at every situation that we're put in. Are we going to look at the 99% of life that happens to be amazing, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me so much blessing, so much bracha, so much bounty, so much to take advantage of in my life? Or am I going to look at that one person, Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachaveh, that Adam Arishon who couldn't figure out how to stay away from that one Eitz Hadas, but he had the whole world open to him? That was the problem, and that is the connection perhaps between Haman HaRasha and the story of Adam Arishon in the very beginning of creation. I mention this also because last year there was an article that I read in Time magazine, and it really caught my attention because it was so absurd. I happened to have read it. It was in March last year. It was right around the Purim story, so it reminded me of this whole story of Haman HaRasha as well. So the story there is about Prince Henrik. I assume nobody here knows about Prince Henrik, but he was the Prince of Denmark. And the story that they wrote about in the Time magazine was that this prince had passed away, and Her Majesty the Queen and her two sons were there right by his bedside as he was on his final moments of life. So, what made the announcement newsworthy was not the fact that he died. Nobody really knows about this prince, and nobody cares about him. I don't say nobody, but most of the world didn't really care much about him. So why was this a worthy news item? The reason why is because he had such an absurd perspective on life. And that's what they wrote about. So they write the following. Doctors diagnosed Henrik with pneumonia at the end of January while he was traveling in Egypt. He was hurriedly transported back to Copenhagen, where tests revealed he had a tumor in his left lung. Although a biopsy confirmed that it was only benign, he contracted an infection, and the palace announced on Friday that Prince Henrik's condition had greatly worsened. And the article goes on to say that things deteriorated very quickly, and he ultimately died last year in March. Now, what's the history of this Prince Henrik? What's the big yicha? So it says, really, Prince Henrik, like Ahasuerus, was not really from the royal family. He just married in. Right? In Yiddish, you call it a tzugekumener, right? He didn't really belong there, but he married into the family. So Henrik married Queen Margaret II in June 1967 in Copenhagen. In recent years, the prince has made headlines for his displeasure with the title he was given in the Danish royal family. As he was married to the queen, he is known as the prince consort, but he is not known as a king, as is traditional for men who are married to female monarchs. However, Henrik thought that this was unfair, and he even cried gender discrimination and that he should have the title of king consort because, after all, he is married to the queen. In August 2017, he said that he refused to be buried next to his wife when his time will come. In a designated just for them sarcophagus in whatever some cathedral in Denmark, if she wants me buried next to her, she must make sure that she makes me the king consort. Finish. I do not care. I don't want to be next to her. And the article goes on and on to say about how this wild, crazy man who's living the opulent and exaggerated lifestyle that he was, a man who is brimming with everything one can ever ask for in life. I would imagine he has avadim and shvachos, and he has a motorcade going with him everywhere, and he has the secret service, and he has as much money and wealth and everything he could ever imagine in the world. Kol ze einenu shavali. Why is it not worth it for me? Because as long as I remain only the prince consort and I'm not known as the king, everything I have in my life is worth nothing. Everything I have in my life is worth nothing. And that is the opportunity that we all have to take life and to actually take advantage of the brachos and be able to give ourselves that perspective. Adam nidam b'chol yom. We have the chance to make that conscious decision every single day of our lives. How am I going to spend it? What is my perspective going to be? Am I going to be proud? Am I going to be happy? Am I going to be satisfied? Am I going to be thankful? Am I going to be grateful? Or am I just going to live around my life looking at everything with such a negative outlook, with such a negative perspective, always finding something that seems to be deficient, one little aspect of life that seems to be missing and wrong, and not exactly the way I wanted it to go? That's a choice that every human being is able to make on their own, and that is not decided by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That is a decision that we make on our own. Let me just close with something that I was so inspired by. Last year, and this year once again, there's a woman in our community, Devorah Shocket, who unfortunately is a young woman, a mother of children in our community who has ALS, and she's living through Gehenim on earth. She's living through a horrible existence. She has so much difficulty, she is so sick, and she's at a point in her life where she is wheelchair-bound, and not only that, she's not able to talk, she's not able to communicate, she cannot do much, but all she can do is look at her computer screen. She cannot eat either, but she's able to look at the computer screen, and through the blinking of her eyes, she's able to communicate some kind of messages because the screen is able to pick up on what she's trying to say. It's an amazing technology. But she wrote the following letter last year, and with this we'll go into Mincha. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with ALS. Doctors gave me 2 to 5 years to live. But guess what? I am still very much alive, and I am determined to be around for a very long time. My kids have defied all odds. They are top students in their school despite losing their mom that they once had. How ironic is it that I finally got the kitchen of my dreams that I wanted for so many years, but I can no longer even cook or eat anything. In the past year, I have seen who my true friends are. These are friends who are still around after 5 years of my being sick. I have also made incredible new friends. I have crazy neighbors and friends who come over every Shabbos. We have a blast together. Wonderful people continue to cook for my family all the time. I communicate via a tablet using my eyes only. I am happy to announce that I am still the best shopper in the world, and ALS will never beat me. I am strong and I am smart. Please join me in celebrating my 5th birthday of my ALS life. It falls the day before Valentine's Day, and it has taught me to love every day of my life. Life is precious, so you better embrace it. You never know when it will change. I love everyone who comes to my house every Wednesday evening to say Tehillim, and it keeps me so strong. Life is about the choices that we decide to make. Haman HaRasha looked at life and decided, this is the way I'm going to see it. Kol ze einenu shavali, everything that God has given me, everything that I have in my life that seems to be going well, is worth nothing because Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachavet. On the other hand, you can have a person who is missing so much in the physical world that we live in and yet sees life as one big blessing and is so happy and so excited, the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given them one more moment, one more opportunity to just enjoy the children that they have and the friends that they've been given and all the blessing that they're able to find even in the difficult circumstances, that is a perspective we can think about as we get ourselves closer and we read once again the story of the nefarious Haman and everything that he tried to do to our people. We have an opportunity to remind ourselves that our lives are suffused with so much bounty, with so much blessing, with so much good, and all we need to do is make the choice and make the decision, the conscious decision, to appreciate everything that we have and just be able to overlook some of the things that seems to be obstacles in the way of the life that we live.